and we are back, and we are the fans here of the LCS. It's been quite the off season with a lot of things happening, actually, and miss you all. I miss you guys. I miss my co-host here. My name is Prime LOL, and tonight we have with me both Andrea and Mage. The full cast is here. How are you all doing?
Except for the part where LCS is not winning, but pretty good.
There is that. Yeah, that's on top of our show notes.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, the Team Liquid guy over here had to watch the TES game, so that happened. And then also I was moving this last weekend, so I'm pretty tired, and I didn't actually get to watch all the games, so limited commentary on this side. Maybe I'll do like a full breakdown at some point in the future, but for right now I just have a couple of notes that I noticed, but nothing too much, nothing too big, not going game by game this episode at least.
And you know, we are going to approach this from the eyes of fandom fans and what that means going forward. There's certainly a lot of reaction from people, and we'll kind of touch on that too. Also, some roster news happening, but we'll address all those towards the end. Let us start right off the bat with MSI, because the last show when we had, it was right before MSI started. And now, in a week and so later, we are now headed into Stage 2 bracket. Okay, so FlyQuest had an appearance.
They did appear on stage at some point in Chengdu. That is true. You are speaking factual statements.
The early parts, they did what I guess most people expected, that they did win this series against PSG. Most people had this penciled in as a potential upset. And halfway through, I think that could have been the case. PSG took game one, I believe, of the series. And then FlyQuest bounced back. But they did not look great. From this point on, I was fairly worried about FlyQuest after that first series. What about you two? What did you see, or what did you remember about this series?
I mean, yeah, it was rough. I would say something to take away is that I think Masu did a really good job. That is probably the most positive thing that I have about watching this team play at Chengdu, is that Masu looked really, really good, which was what a lot of people are kind of pointing to, which is like, oh yeah, we have this veteran top side that's been to international tournaments before, they should be fine, but like, we're pretty worried about this bottom lane, like we're not sure how Masu's gonna look, and like, we're not, like, this is also Busio's first international tournament, so we're not too sure about how he's gonna look. Turns out Masu looks really, really good. I personally would say that he was maybe the best performer on FlyQuest overall.
Thoughts, Andrea?
I don't know. I think FlyQuest looked like a team that was very frustrated. It feels like there was some collapsing going on in the middle of the tournament. And it's like, I don't know, man. Happens, I guess, but it did not feel good for sure.
Even in that series when I certainly felt some shaky, they don't feel very inspired. Not very much. Even Whipple, man, our favorite.
Okay,
Mage, what's going on?
Whipple did not fucking show up at all in China. Like, not even once. Like, I think he might have had one decent game, but that motherfucker was running it down as fast as possible. Like, he looked like he wanted to fucking lose some of these games. Like, I thought, oh my Christ almighty, this man just, like, I don't know what is going on in his head, but some of these fights that he's taking, some of these trades that he's taking in the top side, I'm just like, you are psychotic, and not in like, oh man, my top laner's psychotic, he's like going crazy right now. Like, no, he's like actually like ill in the head and making terrible decisions.
It was pretty bad. Even in an eyes of someone who don't know how to analyze the games yet, that his performance was rough.
So it's so weird too, because like he'll stream and he'll talk. He'll literally say like, "Okay, like this is actually how I'm supposed to control this weight, because like I can't really walk up here, and if I do, like I would be inting, and I don't want to do that." And like he literally explains this situation that's happening on stage on his streams. And then, like, he'll say, like, hey, this isn't what I'm supposed to do. And then when he's on stage in that situation, he does the thing that he's not supposed to do. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are you just, what? Do you just forget everything that you know? Like, what is going on right now, dude?
Yeah, I think the most, before we go into, like, the next game, but I think the most impressive thing probably is more his interview, and not him, but the person who translated for him. Wendy, I don't know if you guys got the chance to see that. She did a fantastic job.
She went crazy. That was Blippo Rap God right there. That was crazy, dude.
It was so good. And yeah, that coming in limping. Now, we did expect them to lose against T1, but we didn't expect them to set records while doing so. First game against T1, FlyQuest. When I was watching that game, at 15 minutes, I felt like, okay, this game is pretty much over. I didn't expect them to close it out in the next 2.5 minutes. We set a record for the shortest game at international stage, and probably for regional as well. 17 minutes and 34 seconds. That's how long that game lasted.
It was longer than Mad Lions still.
Yeah, yeah. Mad Lions still got the 16:47, and even before that, T1 got 16:01 by IG. So
T1:16:01 was funny as fuck.
Yeah. So, but like, here's the thing though. Like, if we really think about it, because like, yes, we lasted longer than Mad Lions. That's good for us. However, like, can we take a second and look at the draft that T1 was running that they beat us with in 17 minutes, by the way? Can we just look at that draft? Because if... let me pull it up here. If I take a look at this draft... yeah, don't they pick, like, triple scaling? They pick Ornn, Senna, and Azir, bro. Mm-hmm. They picked Ornn, Senna, Azir, and then beat us in 17 minutes. Do you know how fucking disgusting that is? Do you know like how badly you have to play to lose a game in that amount of time to those champions? Like, you have to be just chain inting as hard as possible. Like, that is just not, like, that's not realistic. Like, I don't, like, you don't see that in low elo games, even. Like, like, no, that just doesn't happen. Dude, you don't just lose a game to fucking Ornn, Azir, and Senna in fucking 17 minutes. That's not a logical conclusion to seeing that draft get locked. Or am I crazy? Am I crazy? Am I the crazy one? Am I missing something? Are those actually secretly the best early game champions in the game? Like, I don't fucking know, man.
It is awful, and you're right. You're pointing that out. They, scaling champs to close out a game, winning 17. That's not League of Legends. I don't know what this is. I honestly don't know what this is. They look all out of sorts. Jensen was on his signature Orianna pick, right? And you expect Blippo's on his Zac. But
yeah, I mean, I would even like, I think Jensen was probably pretty much fine on the Orianna. He had a couple like I don't even. Here's the thing: I would say overall, I can't necessarily point out an individual person that was just hard inting, but it was just like overall, nobody on the team looked like they were on the same page. Nobody really looked like they understood how they wanted to play out their lanes. Because in all, like, it, theoretically, Orianna is a very good matchup into Azir. And theoretically, Varus Renata should be a very strong lane into Senna Kench. But, like, it just wasn't. Like they just didn't look like that. Like, they weren't taking any advantages that they were, that they would have inherently had or even created. Because I know, like, FlyQuest also got, like, First Blood and stuff in that game.
Yes.
But it's just, like...
That was it. That was the only thing they could have.
We don't push advantages. So I'll talk about it a little bit later too. But the difference between watching FlyQuest and watching Team Liquid play, FlyQuest doesn't push advantages well. Like, they'll just flat out not do anything on the map, or they'll like rotate in like incoherently around the map. Versus Team Liquid, which will take an advantage, like they'll get a small incremental advantage and try to push it for every last drop that it will give them, and they look, and then they just end up inting. because they push it too far and then they run it down.
Yeah. I mean, that perfectly describes the tempo, the style of play. They were unsure. They look out of sorts. To make matters worse, I was looking at the damage to the champions. Guess who was at the top of the damage chart?
Zaius Orn.
Oh my god. Oh.
Everyone.
Everyone. You know, that's a surprise, but that's hilarious.
How fucking disgusting is that, man? How fucking disgusting is this game, man?
Now they made it semi-respectable game two, but it wasn't. There was really not much to talk about here in terms of positives for FlyQuest. They lost the game in 27 minutes and 56 seconds. I mean, 10 minutes longer. But it's clearly a gap.
Can I also just bring this up too? Like, FlyQuest drafting has been fucking horrendous since the Team Liquid series. Because, like, so when you think about T1 bot lane, right? Especially when you think about Caria, is there a specific champion that you think of that you're like, oh yeah, like, we probably shouldn't give him this champ? Like, he completely redefined the support meta because of this champion, and giving it to him is probably the worst fucking possible idea that we could ever have if we ever wanted to win a video game against T1. Is there a champion that you guys think of when I say something like that?
Are you referencing a certain, you know, champ that used to be an ADC lot?
Yeah. The champion that is 100% of the time banned against T1. The champion that Gen G wouldn't even let through. And here's the thing. Like, here's how it probably looks. Is, like, Gen G let Ashe through, like, once in their series against T1 in the finals. And I guess FlyQuest just watched that and was like, oh yeah, like, Nash just probably isn't even that good then if Gen G's letting it through. It's like, no. Like, maybe for Gen G it's not that bad because it's fucking Gen G, but you're FlyQuest and you fucking suck. Like, you're fucking terrible compared to these guys. Like, you're expected to lose. Nobody in the entire world thinks that you have a chance. But just giving that to them regardless is so irresponsible of the coaching staff. It's like the coaching staff gave up. They're like, fucking give them the Ashe, man. Like, let's pick them something. Like, let them pick Ashe and then let us lose in peace. It's, like, horrendous that they would even let that champion even touch Summoner's Rift when they're playing against T1. Like, that should never happen, man.
Any other thoughts, Andrea, about this series?
T1's good. Well, okay, yes. Say they are world champions for a reason, you know? They're really freaking good. They are really good at punishing anything you do wrong, and they for sure did that series.
And we can talk a little bit about that in later on when we move away from the LCS centricness, but I think after that, FlyQuest, I don't know. I thought they had a chance. Day five, when they have to fight PSG again just to make it to the next round, this is where everything started to unravel. I didn't think game one was bad. It looked slow and sloppy, but I didn't expect them to lose.
I expected them to lose. You can watch their draft and you can be like, oh, they're giving them the game for free. Like, we're blinding Urgot, we're giving Senna Tom, Senna Not for, like, literally zero, like, the most overpowered bot lane in the entire fucking game. We're just giving it over to them when you're playing, and when you are FlyQuest, the thought in your head is probably, hey, we need to protect our weaker bot lane because our support and AD are both very inexperienced. We should probably protect them, and then we gave the enemy team Senna Nautilus, and it's like, okay, we don't want to win. We just flat out don't want to win. I don't know what it is. And we have, like, such high fucking priority on, like, Varus or something. And it's like, yeah, Masu was really good at Varus. I agree. And that's a very safe pick for him. But, like, we cannot give the most overpowered bot lane in the entire game over to any bot lane at this tournament. That's just flat out disrespectful to be giving Senna Nautilus over, which they did. And then they got rolled for it. So it's like, you get, like, just me watching the draft, I was like, yeah. It's probably just over. Like, it doesn't look like the coaching staff really did any homework on what's going on here, or somebody is just really confident that they can just beat the best, like, bot lane duo in the game right now.
Part of me wonders if they overlooked PSG, but they shouldn't have. I mean, they even had that video released, right? Right after the T1 loss, how hard they were going to work. Didn't show. Because in game two, they flat out got stomped by PSG. 27 minutes, 28 seconds, 28 kills for PSG, 5 total kills for our own native team FlyQuest. And that one was like, they're ready to go home. That
Complete collapse. Complete fucking collapse. And it's like, it's... I will talk shit about the draft, but it's like, I can be proven wrong if you can just play the draft that you're going for well. And they can't even do that. Because it's like, they'll pick something like, they pick Varus, and then they choose to go Lethality Varus. And it's like, okay, we go Lethality Varus, we pick Huey, we are, the intention of our draft is we're going to poke them down, and then we can all in a little bit later around objectives. And what did they do with their draft instead? They overchased every single singular kill that they could try and find, and they end up dying for it every single time. They overchased into tops. That one play where they overchased into topside jungle and Maple's Azir got a fucking humongous ulti on everybody on Fly. I was just like they're tilted. Mm. Like, they're chasing because they're tilted. They have no intention to win this game. Like, it looks like they were trying to prove something. And in the meantime of them attempting to prove whatever it is that they're trying to do, they just look like a bunch of like disgusting inters. Mm. And it's like, also like Inspired, I think Inspired is just like tilted as well, because like, if you watch this guy play, like, he's just pathing towards exclusively Bwipo every single game. Mm. Like, he does not give a fuck about anybody else on the map. Like, he is so it looks like he is so hell bent on only being there for Bwipo. Okay. That, or like Bwipo's calling him to his lane the entire game. It's like, no, I need you to come help me. Like, I need to do this. Or like, if we can get this advantage, maybe I can just run over the game. It's like, okay, sure. But like, your bot lane is getting dove right now. And like, your mid laner is getting chain ganked right now. And it's like, you could be in these other positions to help out your team, because that is your fucking job, and you're just not doing it. You're playing towards one player like the entire game. Like, in every single game, you're just pathing towards top.
That is slightly concerning to hear, because, you know, I know the two of them are close because of their EU bond, and I don't want to speculate too much, but that does not seem to bode well for cohesion of the team, which was already kind of like on like testy after the LCS finals, right? The Inspired interview came across, not saying that is like, you know, the indicator that things are not going well, but after this, it just didn't feel right with this team. And I wouldn't be surprised, I don't think that they're going to make any changes, but I wouldn't be surprised if they are talking about roster changes at some point, right? Someone brought this up on Twitter, and I was curious on your thought. They said that, you know, ever since they lost their draft coach, due to some under
being a pedophile.
You're right.
Being a pedophile. You can say it. He was a fucking pedophile. Why are we beating around the bush? Everybody in the entire world is beating around that fucking bush. You're like, no, he's a fucking creep. He's a pedophile and doesn't deserve to be here.
And that made such a big... Is that big of an impact to this team that they're like look so lost? And
sure, I mean, you could say that. It sounds a little bit like hope to me, because like, you are a professional player, you have other people that's a part of that coaching staff. Sure, maybe your draft coach means that some of your drafts are weaker and maybe you don't have as good a scouting or something, but like, even then, it's about like, when you do lock that draft, regardless of like whether or not you have that coach there who is directing you during the drafting phase of the game, you are still responsible for playing it out and like, mm-hmm. like understanding what your composition wants to accomplish, right? That like, that's what's really important, is understanding how your composition wants to play the game. And it is very clear that they did not understand, or they just did not care. it is very clear, at least to me, watching from a third person point of view, that these people would lock in their champions, and then it kind of looked like solo queue, where everybody was just kind of playing their own game, and they're chasing for kills, and they're overforcing plays, because, like, they're trying to be the carry, or they need to prove something, or they just fundamentally do not understand how they want to play out the game. Because the way that they were running into PSG made no sense. And it's also, like, the other thing is just, like, when we're picking Varus, like, the reason why I think Varus is so powerful is that he's flexible. Like, you can build him in two very strong and powerful ways that can redefine how you want to play out your lane and play out team fights. And also, it can redefine the way that you want to play out your bottom lane. And I think there was, like, I don't remember which one in particular, but I remember in specific, there was one game where it's just like, hey, Varus is really good here. You should also go on hit Varus in this situation. And then they went lethality anyways. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, okay, so you don't understand why Varus is good here. You don't you're picking Varus because it's probably Masu's comfort, and, like, that's great, but you need to, like, be able to say, like, hey, like, if we're picking Varus, you need to be able to flex between lethality and on hit. And if he's and if it's his decision, or if it's somebody else telling him that he should do it in only one way, then sure, then that person's at fault. But it's like, you should be able to make the decision when you're drafting and when you're in that game and when you're piloting that champion, like, hey, this is how we want our composition to play. This is how I need to be able to play my champion. And if you can't make that decision on the stage, then, like, maybe you need some more time. Maybe you need to reflect on yourself, because you can't be playing like that on an international stage, on really any stage in general, because it's not a good look, bro.
That speaks to a deeper issue, right, that's going on in coaching for this team, and they really need to rethink the way that they go into the summer split. At the pace that this is headed, I'm projecting this team won't even make, like, finals for summer if they don't make any, like, realistic changes. Just a shame, because I think they're a very talented group. I just think that they are mentally, like, checked out. That can carry over.
I think you weak side top lane, you put Jensen on strong global ultimate mid lane champions like Talia, Ryze, even you could go like the Aurelion Sol, give him time on that champion. And then you strong side your bot lane. I think you just put resources into Masu and Busio, mainly because I think Masu has been the best performer on the team, and Busio needs to have his fucking hand held, because you're giving him Nautilus as often as you can, and he looks fucking terrible on that champion.
That much I do will say it's the positive that's coming out of this is Masu, the youngest player of the team, looked the best out of this 5-man group. We might have to do a show on Masu in a little bit. Andrea, what are your thoughts about Masu's growth so far?
I think he definitely is performing decently enough for his, like, first international tournament. Definitely, it's really hard because, like, yeah, Flag was just got beaten down really horrible, but, like, it seems like he's not one of the issues they're having, at the very least, and he's not the biggest issue, which is kind of really good to see on a rookie, I guess.
It's good to hear, but although I am worried about Busio, because
and this is his first international tournament, isn't it? Like, it's like he's playing versus what Carry up first, like, yeah. Actually, kind of insane. No, you got to your first international tournament, and you're Matsu and Busio in their player versus Guma Keria. That's kind of crazy to think about. Those two super young players, like, just have to face the most, one of the most dominant bot lanes in the world.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, we shouldn't even be upset about the fact that Team Liquid got shit on at Worlds last year by fucking DCS, right? Because they mental boomed after playing against T1. Mm-hmm. I'm on board with this. I'm on board with this train, because it was APA and Yon's first international tournament, too.
Yes. And segue into that. Well, that exits our first NA team. So second round, we only have one team left. And they
no, we don't. That was it. That's all of the North American teams at the tournament. We're done. We're out of the tournament, guys. Man, it wasn't it crazy when Cloud9 also somehow lost in play-ins? That's wild.
Somehow, you know, build the team around Umpty and you know, who was there. Impact, you know. Good old C9. They had a rough going, not gonna lie. The team that represented North American champs, LCS champs, went against Top Esports. And this wasn't even like Top Esports like tip top shape form, but that's not to take away. I was watching the highlights just not too long ago. There were moments where I think I saw what T1 was trying to do, and overall I think they play a bit more confident than FlyQuest, relatively speaking, right? But they're still not themselves. And they, man, they it was a rough 3-0. But I gotta say, at the very least, I like what they try to do with some of their approaches, with some of their drafts. And my favorite that APA was not shy on all chatting. Still got into Green's head. They did.
Yeah, can we just say how fucking funny it is that North America's worst mid laner got three bans against him in his first his first game here at MSI? North America's worst mid laner is getting three champions banned against him. Man, that's crazy. It's almost like you should put some fucking respect on his name or something. That's wild. But moving on. Yeah, those games were shit. They were really bad. I mean, it's like, I would say Team Liquid definitely had some really good moves. I think their lane swapping was not terrible overall. I think maybe, I would say this, Team Liquid is our best macro team in North America. And because of that, I was at least somewhat confident going into the TES series about, oh, like, there's a chance that they could maybe win out, like, using, like, superior macro or just, like, having a good understanding of lane swaps. And I would say that overall, they did have a pretty decent understanding of lane swaps, and if they were in play-ins, they would not get eliminated like FlyQuest. However, I will also say that it's really funny to me because we would go into these lane swaps, and every single fucking game, Jackie Love hits six before Yawn and Core JJ. Yeah. Every fucking game. Every single one. And there was one play in particular that I'm sure everybody's going to pick on because it's horrendous and it deserves to be taken apart, but it's Yawn and Core up in top lane. Jackie and Mako are walking into top as well. They get their level 6 on Lucian, Nami, and you see them, and Yawn fucking walks up the fucking lane, and it's just like, oh no, you just got yourself killed. You just got Core killed as well. And he walks up the lane to farm a minion, and then Jackie all-ins him, and he fucking dies, and then Core JJ dies. And it's like, you didn't see that he was level 6? You didn't see that they were level 6? Like, why are you walking up there? Like, you for sure die, right? Like, you for sure understand that you die. Calm down, mage. Calm down. Calm down. Everything's okay. But holy fuck, dude. It's like you can't read the numbers on your screen? Like, you can't see that they're both level 6 and you guys are still level 5. I don't know what he thought. Maybe he thought if he, like, could get the next, like, two minions, he would hit 6 and then it was fightable. And, like, sure, maybe in a perfect world where you fucking, like, Q rend two minions on the perfect timer and you get 6, maybe you can pull off this 2v2 against the, in my opinion, like, maybe the best AD carry in the entire world right now. And maybe you get that kill on the Lucian, Nami as Kalista. Maybe. But I wouldn't put money on it. So I don't know why he's walking up top lane there. And it's just like, it's just a lot of other things. It's like, I think we had a couple good dives that were really good. And we did starve out 369 for like three or four waves on the bot dives, which were like really good overall. But it did show that, like, whereas Team Liquid is very good at playing together, once they are separated, their individual pieces are just inherently much weaker than their whole. And that showed in every single lane, because in every single lane, people were down CS, with the exception of Impact. because he's just the best fucking player in North America right now. And it's like, we did a lot of stupid things where, and I did say it earlier, where we would get a small incremental advantage. And it's like, okay, like, for instance, we shut down Jackie Love on that Lucian Nami game. And it's like, great, we killed him. This is fantastic. Let's do Baron. Let's push out our waves. Let's set up for the next objective. But instead, we chose to force a fight, a second fight, right after we killed Jackie Love. And it's like, that's really cool. Jackie is dead, but he's not the only one doing damage. He's not the only one that's super fed right now. And Team Liquid dies because they tried to overforce in a 5v4 when they were still weaker than TES in every position. And it's like, well, there goes that small advantage. And we kicked it to the curb. And that happens consistently throughout every single game, where I would say Team Liquid makes a really good play, and then they try to turn it into an even better play, and then they lose the game off of it. And then even on top of that, it's just like, and this actually, like, if Umpty fucking face checks a visionless bush in the jungle again, when the line of pressure is so fucking far down Team Liquid's throat, I'm gonna have an aneurysm. I will like die at my fucking computer, bro. Like, that is insane that we do this over and like, we're getting caught on, like, APA was getting caught on sides, Umpty was getting caught in the jungle, we're getting caught with zero vision, like, we're just walking into bushes for no fucking reason, and it's like, yeah, we, like, I don't know what we, I don't know what we're doing, but, like, that's definitely not what we should be doing.
It's very, you know, the things that you've seen echoes a little, echoes the things that other people are seeing as well. I'm reading Loyota LOL, like, on Brendan Schilling on Twitter, and he made, like, a quick note summary, and one of the notes was, like, Umpty was pretty terrible. Umpty revealed himself for fun a lot. That's what he highlighted. He revealed himself for fun a lot. Man, they did not look like the... It's not me, right? They did not look like the playoff TL team.
No, I mean, not necessarily. I would say this. So they definitely didn't look the same as they did at the beginning or the end of NA playoffs, sure. But also, because I did talk about this a lot in my breakdown of the finals, but it's a lot of Team Liquid's strengths were initially weaknesses. Like, APA's champion pool was initially a weakness. Mm-hmm. Getting caught on sides was initially a weakness. Poor team fighting was initially a weakness, and they turned them, most of those things, into strengths or worked on them well enough so that they were passable in North America. And it came down to the fact where a lot of people, when they looked at Team Liquid at the end of the LCS season, they said this: Team Liquid is a bunch of pretty good players who know how to play as a team really, really well. But, like, individually, each piece is much weaker than the sum of their parts. And you can argue that, like, no, it, like, Impact is not weaker than the sum of the parts. Like, he is very frequently the strongest member of Team Liquid, and I think that's very valid. And, like, even, like, Core JJ looked a lot better in playoffs than he has in a long time. But overall, the pieces of Team Liquid are inherently weaker. Like, I don't think there's anybody who would say that Yon is just a better AD carry than Berserker.
No.
I don't think anybody would say that. I don't think anyone's going to look at APA and be like, he's just a better mid laner than Jojopyun. He's just a better mid laner than Jensen. I don't think people really look at that and say those things and believe those things. I don't think anyone's going to look at Umpty and be like, he's a better jungler than Blabber or Inspired. And I think that's those are totally fair assessments of those players. But when they came together and played as five, they did much better. But it was also because in North America, a lot of the mistakes that they would make don't get punished as hard because the punishment window is, like, much smaller. People don't really punish mistakes super well in North America in the way that they do in other regions. And that is where TES was just like, hey, these guys keep fucking up in small ways, and we're going to keep chipping at that. And sometimes those chips turned into dents, and sometimes those dents turned into fucking holes.
Yeah.
And it happened in this game where it's like APA's champion pool got attacked. And like, that was a really good strategy. And that makes CES an already better drafting. Like, they're already better at drafting against Team Liquid than every other team in North America, because they attacked the player whose champion pool was the weakest. And they even gave them the double dragons, and they still couldn't fucking do anything on them.
Saw that.
Because here's the thing. Smolder and Aesol are heavily abusable champions if you know how to do it.
Yeah.
And TES very obviously knew how to do it, and they abused the weakness of those champions, which was not something that happened in North America because nobody was able to abuse them. And it's the same exact thing of like, and I'm going to point it out again, it's like APA gets caught out on sides a lot. And the way that Team Liquid offset that in the regular season, or not the in playoffs in North America, is they created pressure on the opposite side of the map where APA was playing, and they either stagnated or forced a play that made the most sense for them. And that's not something that they could do against CES, and APA consistently got caught out on side lanes again. And also, and like this has to be said, Yon is a poor team fighter. He positions poorly a lot of the time, and there are certain champions that get him out of that situation. But when you are playing against arguably the best AD carry in the entire world at the moment, you are going to get outdone in most team fights in almost every scenario. And that happened. And the makings of like Core JJ peeling or Impact making space was not enough to make up for the fact that Yon is a poor team fighter when compared to other international AD carries here. Like, yeah. I would say right now, Yon, he might have been the weakest. He might have been the weakest AD carry from all the major regions. Even after watching FlyQuest play, I would say that there's a very valid argument that Yon is just the weakest AD carry out of all of the major region AD carries playing.
I mean, if you just talk about team fighting, right? Masu is much better. It's one of his strengths coming out from the. No.
I think Yon wasn't that bad, to be honest. He just had very obvious and glaring mistakes, but other than that, he seemed to be doing okay in laning phase, considering all things. I did not watch the games from Fnatic, but I also heard that Noah wasn't very good either, so...
Ooh. Yeah.
I am not sure I'm willing to say that Yon was the worst of all the minor regions.
Well... That is an argument to be made, and he'll get a chance because they're not eliminated.
They play Fnatic, so I guess we will find out then.
Who's the worst AD carry
of all the Mario regions?
I really hope it's Noah. I really do hope it is.
Let's make it your point. Zooming out then, because this is our last chance. I think the thing that most North American fans look forward to is the EU versus NA type of games, right? Then this is the first and probably the only one that will happen through this MSI tournament.
Hey, that's not necessarily true. If G2 beat T1 and Team Liquid beat Fnatic, we'll get G2 versus TL.
We're hoping.
So that it's possible. It's there. There's a chance. I don't know how small that chance is. I don't know what I'm looking like. Maybe Caps is the best player in the world. I don't know.
True.
I don't know.
Caps over Faker.
I don't. Maybe right now. Maybe right now he is. I don't know.
That's the amount of copium I cannot inhale at this point. But be that as may, I will say one thing. Fnatic has shown up more than I expected them to. I did not think that they were a great team. Overall, I did think that they were good, but you know, they play a style that really at least make them competitive, even though they lost 0-3 to Gen G. They had a win against TES, if I remember correctly, but I still stand by that they're not this team that has a chance to win much in this tournament. And
true.
Does that give TL a chance to beat them? I think TL needs to show
100%.
Up.
100%.
I think it's tough. I do actually very honestly do think that it's tough because I would say two things. Humanoid looks fucking insane. He does this every single time he goes to internationals where he just turns it on and looks fucking incredible. And like he showed up against TES and there were points in time in the Gen G series where he was just flat out doing better than Chovy. And it's like, okay, Humanoid is really turning it on. Also, I would say Resorc is a much better jungler than Umtee in every single category. I don't know if there's a single category where I would give Umtee the advantage against Resorc. And jungle mid synergy from Fnatic is much better than jungle mid synergy from Team Liquid.
Go ahead. Umtee's better at being very charismatic. No, no, I can't even say that. They're very charismatic, both of them. Umtee is better at modeling.
Sure. Yeah, true. Yeah, nah, bro. True, his death note, that went crazy. He went crazy with that, for sure.
Is insane, yeah. Umtee's
Umtee Riz is true. But
making mind-boggling decisions that leave us all looking at the screen like, what did he just say? He's definitely a special kind, for sure.
Yeah, true.
He's making this case to be a lovable NA.
He's definitely very,
I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy he's here at least. Like, I'm happy that he's playing in the league. That I really like his content pieces. That's good. I also really like Resort's content pieces. But I digress.
Resort is great too. Yeah.
I would say the way that you probably approach the Fnatic matchup as Team Liquid is you, like, even though Oscarinen looked really good, I would say you still probably do want to attack through top lane.
Yeah.
I think it's, you have to ban Camille though, unless. I say you have to ban Camille with the exception of if Impact is cooking something. Because if Impact pulls out, like, if he has, like, a really good, if he thinks Mord is really good right now, if he has, like, a good GP right now, if he, like, even wants to go back to the Twisted Fate, which I know isn't as favored at the moment, it probably is good. I think if you're looking at Team Liquid from Fnatic's point of view, you're probably not even that worried about the top lane matchup. And it's not because Impact is a bad top laner, but it's because Impact, he punishes mistakes, but he doesn't push leads.
Right.
He's a very safe and stable top laner, I would say. And, like, a lot of his best champions are, like, I mean, not necessarily tanks, but definitely HP-heavy top laners. And when you're playing a champion like Camille, you win out in most of those matchups. And so far, Oscarinen has looked pretty crazy at the Camille, admittedly. So I think if you're Team Liquid, you have to ban Camille. I think you have to look for that and then attack through top lane. Because I think when Oscarinen isn't on the Camille pick, he looks significantly less comfortable. And I think that's a very good way to play through the map.
I mean, it's fair. I mean, the most resistance, or like, if they at least keep top neutral, I think they should invest more focus on beating TL's bot lane and mid. Which I think they're very capable of.
I think bot lane is the most interesting out of all the matchups, because I think Core JJ and Yon are much better laners than June and Noah. Like, their laning is really, really good. I am worried that because of the lane swap meta, we won't be able to see them actually push the Fnatic bot lane to a point where they're going to feel like they're vulnerable. I would be very worried about that, because I think if you are Fnatic, maybe you just look to go like Zeri, Lulu, and then play for lane swaps.
Cool.
Because I think if you are Fnatic, you are scared of Team Liquid's bot lane. I think you are scared of Yon and Core JJ's laning style. And I think you probably want to give your bot lane as much safety as possible. You don't worry about Oscarinen too much, and then you try to attack mid as much as possible, because Humanoid is going to shit on APA. If he's like it's really scary, because when I look at this, I'm like, okay, we don't want them to have Camille. We also don't even really want them to have LeBlanc. LeBlanc is fucking terrifying.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, okay, no LeBlanc and no Camille, but we're leaving up so many good bot lane champions, and we're leaving up so many strong junglers, and it's really scary if we are attacking their solo laners in the first phase of pick ban, and we aren't able to attack other places. Because, like, I would also be scared of Noah Zeri. I'm also scared of, like, Renata from Fnatic. I'm scared of, like, Poppy. I'm, like, there are so many champions that I'm fucking terrified when I go up against them. If I'm looking to go up against them, and it's like, okay, they have a lot of angles to carry through, and the options seem more limited for Team Liquid, I would say. But I still think it's a good matchup because I think Team Liquid has better macro. And I think if you do get, if we do get a good laning phase, we can just win the game off of that.
Oh. This really is a battle of who gets their advantages, because I do see Fnatic being more of a chaotic style, and they've won through that. LeBlanc was, I think that was the game that they beat TES with, Humanoid's LeBlanc. All right. So taking a grander look, we still haven't seen some of the teams that have yet to play in this MSI, G2 being one of them, BLG being the other. Is this going to be an LPL final, an LPL LCK final, LCK LCK final? What are your thoughts?
Good question. I don't know. MSI usually an LPL tournament. I don't know why it just happens like that. Everyone predicts T1 to win every year and then they don't win.
There's something about that MSI thing.
MSI is randomly Chinese tournament. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, people were saying that TS looked really like weak and then they just stomp our team. So it's like, I don't know. I thought they looked really crisp versus TL, to be honest. So like, I don't know how to feel about this. Until we see them versus each other, I guess I don't know how to feel, generally.
I think it's an LCS LEC final. I think it's Team Liquid G2 to the finals. I think what's going to happen is G2 is going to beat T1. Team Liquid's going to beat Fnatic. Fnatic's going to be out of the tournament. Team Liquid's going to place against G2. Team Liquid's going to beat G2. G2's going to fall to lower bracket. And then Team Liquid's going to get to the finals. And then G2's going to play lower bracket all the way to the finals. And it's going to be Team Liquid G2 MSI again.
Ooh, love it.
That's what I'm going for. That's my angle, guys. That's my copium. Okay, real answers now. I think it's probably... Honestly, I think it's... Wait, so if... I have to think about the bracket.
Yeah, probably the bracket will also have a lot of impact in here.
Yeah, because BLG stop PSG. PSG go to lower. G2, T1... Because T1 and BLG have to play against each other next if T1 beats out G2. So...
Yeah, I don't think the... Well, yeah. The regions are really on the opposite side of the bracket. I think they intentionally made it that way. Where the semifinals...
Yeah, no, that was actually one of the criticisms, is that because they were so... Because last year's MSI, the brackets were, like, regional locked. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody was playing against themselves. They decided to make it so that just couldn't happen, at the very least in the first round. And because of that, the bracket was pretty predictable.
Mm-hmm.
There was like literally only one or two. There's literally only two ways that the bracket could have looked. But I digress from that point. I think realistically, BLG make it to finals pretty easily. And honestly, and maybe this is cope, I think TES might make finals.
Ooh.
I think this might be really. Cope, yeah, but... I don't know if it's cope, but I also feel that. I'm also feeling that.
Yeah, like Jackie Love looks fucking insane. Tien didn't look like a complete griefer. I mean,
Tien looked really good.
He did.
Like, oh my god, he's feeling himself. He's so back.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's scary. Like, TES is a scary team. Like, TES feels like Weibo
people from
last year's World.
Yeah, expecting really worse from them, and then suddenly they show up, and it's like, oh, maybe they can do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, the underdog teams from LPL and LCK kind of tend to show up at international, mm-hmm. So it's... the ones that the people think they would be weak. It has happened enough times, so, like, who knows?
That would be, to get there though, this story would require TES to beat out T1 or Gen G, or maybe both in a best of five.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's possible.
Wow.
I think it's for sure possible. I think
make the chaos happen. LPL always brings the chaos.
I think Gen G is a good matchup for TES.
Yes. Yes.
I would say. Because if TES play through bot lane, Paze is going to get fucked in lane. And like that's been my biggest concern about the Gen G team, is that their bot lane's laning phase is not very strong. And against a bot lane that would push them, they obviously struggle, because they've shown that they struggle. If they get to the late game team fighting, Paze looks really, really good. Lehens looks really, really good. But like, so does Jackie Love and Mako. Man, like, they both look really good in team fights right now too. And I think they win out that bot lane as well. And I think Cream has stepped up stupendously thus far. So it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it might be TES BLG finals. I might be like hard coping because Team Liquid lost to TES, and it would be really nice to say that we lost to a finalist, but like, I don't know. There's like a vibe, man. There's like a vibe that TES is just really
it's
strong.
Really about the vibes.
That's the vibes. That's how this all works. The vibes, the momentum, things that happen, and they keep that going.
It would be really fun if they did. Like, I'm actually trying to remember. Let's see. Where are the... let me do a quick Google search on this. Oh my god. How did I search this, actually? So who has won the last MSIs recently?
JTG won last year.
Yeah, right. They were stopping the Golden Road. Yeah, I don't remember that. So it was JTG, RNG, G2, RNG, SKT, SKT, EVG. It's basically LPL tournament mostly, with the exception of that time G2 randomly won. And the exception of...
No. They didn't randomly win. They were really, really good, and they were unstoppable, and we had no chance anyway, so it's fine.
That was the G2 Golden Road year too, right? That got stopped
in
the
final. They also were going for the Golden Road, indeed.
Because they were really fucking good and completely unstoppable, and we never stood a chance.
I love TL fans. And so I'm trying to see, like, yeah, I was looking this up because I wasn't certain. So every single time, Hanoi, Vietnam. I didn't actually know that, 2019 MSI was in Vietnam. I didn't remember that part. So this is a tournament in China, so it's kind of interesting, because the last time MSI was in China was in 2016.
Wow, that's far back.
Yeah. So like, I was looking at this because I remember, for example, Korea. World's winners. Had this thing where they couldn't win Worlds in Korea. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I do remember that.
Which was really funny. Like, whenever Worlds was in Korea, they will just lose.
Yes. Oh yeah. They could never win in their own home country.
Yeah, and then. Okay, so I'm looking at Worlds I'm looking at the Worlds locations, and it's like, yeah.
Must be something about the home teams never allowed to win. It's almost like a Super Bowl.
So like, in China, Worlds in China was in 2017. That was Samsung Galaxy who won. And then Worlds in Chengde in 2020 was when Damwon won. So, like, yeah, it seems like China doesn't win in China. just looking at the quick Google search, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but like, I looked up really fast. So I'm like, that's another narrative there.
we always played a narrative too. So
of course,
I got, oh, I got Team Liquid's winning. So Team Liquid's winning MSI.
That's what made you go out of this, bro.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, what else am I going to take away from this other than Team Liquid's winning the whole thing?
I'm estimating here the locations of MSI, and it's like clearly the MSL will win. Fantastic.
North America has never won. We've never won an international tournament, but we're starting this year in China, guys. This is it. North American dominance, guys. I promise it's real.
Alrighty. Well, that's our hope, our expectation. Something funky will happen. TL winning would be the best thing that ever happened out of this. Looking into the summer, folks, let's wrap it up by talking about some of the major changes expected to happen. Dignitas is making two changes instead of one. They signed Licorice to replace Rich. And then now today, just recent news, they signed Zven to play ADC again.
According to sources, but yeah.
According to sources. Let's stick with that.
Yeah, Dignitas seems to be gunning for that last world spot, interestingly.
Listen, man, Dig did not look terrible, and if there's one, and like, here's my other copium, because I am, in fact, a Dignitas fan.
Wow, we have another one.
Yeah, I know. We exist, dude. We're out here. But we, like, Exu looked really good, in my opinion. I think he was really solid. Licorice is always going to be a welcome addition, even though I don't think Rich was necessarily a huge problem for Dig. And then, I don't think Tomo was necessarily a huge problem either, but it's just, Licorice and Sven are always going to be welcome. They're always going to be, they're always going to feel like an upgrade. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to see Sven back in the AD carry role. I've been watching his stream.
Mm-hmm.
He's been looking pretty good. He looks okay. In total honesty, he looks fine. But then again, it is North American solo queue where there is, the lowest fucking bar possible. So, I'm excited to see this team in action. I kind of wish that there's a couple other players that I wish that we were also seeing. I wish that we were seeing Spica to a team. I wish we were seeing Chime to a team. I don't know. I'm excited for these Dig changes, though, to be honest. I think it should be good for Dignitas, and if it is somehow bad, then that's gonna be the funniest fucking thing in the entire world.
Oh my gosh. That'll be crushing. It'd be crushing.
Dignitas for sure know how to make things funny. So, yeah.
Well, now we have some good players and some great content creators for them. Kudos to Silvix production.
Oh, that's
true. The other news, of course, it's confirmed that Enero will be joining IMT as their head coach, and joining him will be Treats as an assistant coach, if I got that right. Treats.
Mm-hmm.
The former support that played both in EU and in NA is now back in NA. Awesome. Well, folks, we have a lot to look forward to. Our next show will probably wrap up the MSI and celebrate TL's victory in Chengdu. And absolutely, we will be looking forward to having some guests on as well to talk about how to be a fan, how to watch this as a fan. We are not doomers here. We still enjoy this game pretty, pretty well and look forward to becoming a stronger and greater fan until next time. So any sign up from either of you?
Yeah, I'm very excited to watch TL Fnatic. It's also a very good time. The time zone, the time slot is kind of much better. So you can actually stay. And for me, it's at 11 p.m. So it's just perfect time for trio in Fnatic for sure. And I'm sure we'll be very happy to be able to watch. But for real, it's very exciting. EU versus NA, it's always something to watch for. We just get really depressed, or we just get to have the upper hand in banter for the rest of the year, what happened with G2 versus NRG. So,
which is why Team Liquid can't fuck this up. Because if we lose 3-0 to fucking Fnatic, it's over for us. Like, we're doomed. Like, it's actually done. Not only did we lose to the fucking PCS in a 0-2, if we lose to fucking Fnatic in a 0-3, we are cooked for the next, like, 4 or 5 fucking years from these fucking EU shitters, dude. We are absolutely cooked if we lose 0-3 to Fnatic, which we're not going to do because we're fucking better than them, and we're going to fucking win, and then we're going to take G2, and we're going to fucking go all the way to finals, and we're going to win the whole goddamn tournament.
And that is how you become and be a fan. Ladies and gentlemen, we're signing off.